Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think it is safe to say that for the moment, Georgia is on a roll. We talked about this on the Dixie Vodka postgame show on Saturday after the 45-14 really just blasting of Vanderbilt, that how long would you have to go back in the past to find an example of Georgia winning an SEC game, three consecutive SEC games, by 28 points or more? That's the streak that Georgia's on right now. Of course, the blowout to Samford, you'll add into that as well, but the blowout of SEC opponents here over the course of the last three games, really something almost unprecedented. Jeff Sintel actually did some of the research on this. You may have seen what he tweeted out over the weekend, that you got to go back to 1981 to find an example of Georgia winning three consecutive SEC games by at least 21 points. But Georgia's at 28 points in its last three. And so right now the Dogs are flying as high as we've seen them fly in a number of years here. And that's true both on the field and when it comes to recruiting. And there is an element in which Georgia's success on the field leads to a bit of a problem, or at least a potential problem anyway. And it's probably the same problem that Alabama has dealt with for a long time. Kirby Smart got some experience with that when he worked for Nick Saban back in the past. And now, even with Smart here at Georgia, Nick Saban still at Alabama, the Crimson Tide probably still dealing with this. And one of the things I wanted to kind of point out here on the heels of Georgia's win against Vanderbilt and climbing in the polls, now up to number four in the AP poll and number five in the coaches poll, really knocking on the door of the college football playoff conversation if this can be maintained, is how different Georgia feels compared to Alabama kind of going into this really tough stretch of the season in which you got to try to maintain your focus and not get too up and too impressed with yourself because you're blowing out opponents right now. That's been the case for Alabama here in most of the last few weeks. Did get challenged a little bit by Texas A&M on Saturday, but had a blowout win against Ole Miss, you know, blowout before that against Vanderbilt. Alabama's really been on a roll, and Georgia has been lately as well. But the way that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are handling these blowouts and handling the success, I think right now, is really interesting. Nick Saban, I think, is taking a pretty joyless approach to all this. And Nick Saban taking what ought to be a good year for his program and kind of turning that into kind of a sour response. Here is what Saban said on Saturday. And the reason why I play this, because I think it provides an interesting comparison to Kirby Smart here in a moment. But here's what Saban said on Saturday to questions about his team after a relatively close call on the road against Texas A&M. Listen to how nasty Saban gets.
I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison. You know what I mean? It's like taking poison, like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are?
So that's a message that Alabama has had to try to send in some form or fashion for a while. Don't listen to the media. Don't believe the hype. You know, come back to work every day at practice and every week during the games, and let's try to get better. But Saban, in talking about that message, as I said, he just sort of gets sort of nasty and takes kind of a joyless approach to that. I want you to compare that to Kirby Smart on Saturday, though, who's essentially trying to send the same message that the media's got to be blocked out. The media's not what you want to pay attention to here. We got to focus. We got to get better. But listen to how much more fun Kirby Smart seems to be having with his team than Nick Saban's having with his team. First of all, let me give you the example of the offensive line. Offensive line played better on Saturday. Kirby Smart gave them a game ball. He's praised that group here over the course of the last couple of weeks. And listen to how Kirby, in talking about getting better week to week and blocking out distractions, listen to how refreshingly different his answer is from the one you just heard from Alabama coach Nick Saban.
I think they're getting better. You know, I think you guys have done a good job motivating them, and they keep getting better. And look, guys, we're gonna play better teams than that, and that's what concerns me. That's why I feel like we got to develop the ability to throw the ball to beat the people we got to beat.
So it turns into a laugh line. Hey, y'all been criticizing my offensive line. They're using that as motivation. They're trying to get better. And the media kind of laughs at that. The fans that hear that kind of laugh at that. And everybody kind of moves on and has a good time with all that. Kirby Smart, a refreshingly different approach to Nick Saban, who, when he's questioned after games, trying to stay focused, trying to stay motivated, gives you something more like this.
Rat poison.
Now, which of these two coaches do you want to play for? The coach having a good time or the coach talking about rat poison? I think right now Kirby Smart looks like a more fun coach to play for. Let me give you another example of that that proves it's not just about Kirby Smart having lower expectations than Nick Saban or assuming that his team can achieve less than Nick Saban's Alabama team can achieve. I mean, this was another blowout for Georgia against Vanderbilt. It was another game when the defense, while it did yield a couple touchdowns, did not do much in the way of giving anything up. And after the game, Kirby Smart admitted it doesn't meet his standard, but in doing so, it just sounds like he's having more fun than Nick Saban is right now. Here's Kirby Smart delivering a Saban-like message in a slightly un-Saban-like manner.
We did not play our best defensive football game. I'll reserve judgment until I watch the tape. We didn't strike up front. We didn't tackle as well. We didn't get off the field on third down. But you know what? Our defense needed that, because they've been told by everybody, y'all, and everybody else that they're the greatest thing ever. And Vanderbilt came out with a good quarterback, executed well, converted third downs, and we didn't play to the standard that we're supposed to play to. And that's the most disappointing thing. So we can get better defensively, and we can coach off this to maybe get their attention.
So what Kirby Smart says there is absolutely 100% right, that even in the midst of a blowout win, you're still going to see things that you want to work on get better. If you're trying to be a championship team, the standard of achievement's got to be higher than just easy win versus Vanderbilt. Everything that Kirby Smart says there is totally appropriate and exactly what you'd hope to hear from a coach pushing his team towards great success at the end of the season. But do you notice that Kirby's able to say all of that without having to say something like what Nick Saban said on Saturday?
Rat poison.
There's no rat poison in what Kirby Smart has to say there. And there is something about Saban, I think, by comparison to Kirby Smart, that does feel a little bit like rat poison right now, to use the word that Smart uses. That somehow being at the top for as long as Saban's been there has just sort of made him sour and probably kind of unpleasant to be around. And with both these coaches trying to send the same message, I would imagine that there's a tendency from some Alabama players to be like, do we really have to go through all of this again? And yet Kirby Smart delivering the same message, doing so in a much more refreshing way. And listen, I get the pushback here. Well, Saban's been doing this for a long time. Kirby Smart's just doing this for the very first time. Therefore, it may be a little easier. And it might be, but the difference to me is still striking. And I will also say this as we close up this portion of the conversation. I get where this comes from, the need to constantly challenge your team, the need to block out the media. We saw on Saturday another example of this. Oklahoma loses as a big favorite to Iowa State. Michigan loses a rivalry game at home to a Michigan State team that was awful last season. Alabama does get challenged by Texas A&M, even though they were a 4-touchdown favorite on the road. Maintaining the same edge and the same competitive fire for 12 consecutive Saturdays, or 12 Saturdays out of 13 weeks, is not an easy thing to do. And Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are both facing that challenge. But I think for Georgia fans, the thing that you'll like right now coming off the Vanderbilt win on Saturday is that Kirby Smart seems to be facing that challenge in a way that's a lot more enjoyable for his players than Saban's approach is. And the future recruits in the South are watching that. And right now, Kirby Smart seems like the kind of guy you want to play for. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. No matter how you access our program, on video each and every morning at 10 a.m. on the Facebook Live, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or in podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud. We post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. We try to make the podcast for you as easy to find as we possibly can. And here on Dog Nation Daily, you know, we do this each and every day, and it starts to feel more and more important the closer we get. Now, 19 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville. It's part of our Gator Hater Countdown, just 19 days away from Georgia, Florida there in Jacksonville. Florida, of course, does lose to LSU on Saturday, but that doesn't do anything in our minds to diminish the importance of the cocktail party when the game is played. We're happy that the Gators lost here at Dog Nation Daily, but we still believe the Georgia-Florida game is a big-time hurdle for Georgia this season as it moves towards the great success that Kirby Smart is challenging his team to in what you just heard from there. I'll also tell you here on Monday, you've come to expect Chip Towers on Dog Nation Daily. We've got a really fun show and a great guest coming up in just a moment. Today, though, it will not be Chip Towers. Unfortunately, Chip's got a little bit of a family situation that he's taking care of. Here on Dog Nation Daily, we send out our thoughts and prayers to him, and I certainly would encourage all of you around Dog Nation to do the same. We hope to have Chip back again next Monday. You may see a little less of him at DogNation.com this week, but we'll look forward to having Chip back here on DogNation.com and on Dog Nation Daily again really soon. In his place today, really good guest. His name is Mitch Lott. Light. He's the managing editor of Athlon Sports. He was in Nashville on Saturday to watch the Georgia Vanderbilt game. We'll get his thoughts from kind of that national perspective on what he thinks of Georgia right now, both as a potential contender for championships and the evolution of Kirby Smart here in year two. That'll be really fun with Mitch Light coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me go back to the game here against Vanderbilt on Saturday to kind of point out what I thought a real crucial moment in the game was. Georgia comes out looking to set a tone early and running the football, leading to a 33-yard touchdown run for Nick Chubb, putting him over 4,000 yards for his career, really kind of putting himself in the rare company. I think he's eighth all-time in the NCAA record books now. He becomes just the second Georgia running back to have 4,000 career rushing yards. And while that's great for his career, it also set a real tone for the game for Georgia on Saturday. And Kirby Smart, when he met with reporters after the game, talked about exactly what that tone was and why Kirby, using Chubb and others, wanted to run the football so effectively to start the game.
I think that's the mentality of this team. It's really not a scoreboard deal. It's like, we really just want to see if we can make the other team quit. And if you can try your best to make them quit and you start seeing the falling in of the defensive line, the pushing, the movement, you know that you've got them where you want them. And that's kind of what our guys look to enjoy that moment. That's when you know you've won your box.
And because of that, what Kirby Smart describes there, that 7-0 lead for Georgia that really gave them the cushion to go out and get another blowout win, will make that our Aldi game-saving moment. As I said, brought to you by Aldi, the game-saving moment is because Aldi is the supermarket that saves you money. And right now, weekly fresh meat specials are every Wednesday at Aldi. When you see the sign, you'll find extra low prices on their very best cuts of meat. But hurry, because at these low prices, the weekly supply is limited. We appreciate Aldi bringing the game-saving moment to you here on Dog Nation Daily each and every day. Now, of course, when it comes to good news for Georgia, that wasn't restricted to just on-field on Saturday against Vanderbilt. We'll also go back to Friday's show when we were broadcasting live on Friday morning on Facebook Live. We had a chance to bring you live coverage of Justin Fields, the five-star quarterback, announcing his commitment to the University of Georgia. And then later on that afternoon, when Fields met with the media, I thought Fields had some pretty interesting things to say, including when he was asked why it was that he chose Georgia, what made him feel comfortable with Georgia. Well, listen to the praise that Fields gives to a Georgia assistant that he viewed as crucial in his recruitment. If you're a Dog fan, you're going to love this. Take a listen.
Coach McGee, I feel like he's probably the best recruiter in the country. He just really kind of, even before I even had the offer, before I really was even popular, I wasn't really on the map in the country, but he kind of just kept texting me back. So we've had a long-time relationship, and I think I have a good relationship with all of the coaches, so I love it up there.
Two things to say here. First of all, you love the idea of Justin Fields singling out Dell McGee as what he calls the best recruiter in the country. I think there's something to be said there that what Fields says appears to be true at the moment, because McGee not only won with Justin Fields this recruiting cycle, already won with Zamir White, and a lot of people at Georgia now and at Georgia in the future are going to be there because of the impact that Dell McGee had on them. I think that's absolutely true, and specifically McGee's impact on Fields, making him feel loved and wanted, even when there's kind of a weird situation going on there at quarterback for Georgia. Dogs already had a couple quarterbacks. Georgia had recruited Trevor Lawrence a little bit, and yet McGee personally never let go of Fields and never let that relationship die down. That's really impressive. Something else that's really impressive here is Justin Fields saying what he's going to do now that he's a UGA commit. Well, for him, it's already started. He's going to start working on some of these other recruits. Here's Fields again.
Well, I know I just committed and everything, but I'm already hitting guys up, telling them to come and join me because I want the best players to play with me each and every day at practice, the best defensive players. I want to get myself better and them better also.
A lot of people have joked with me about Justin Fields because we've talked about him so much here on Dog Nation Daily. They'll say, well, what are you going to talk about now that Fields is committed? And I've tweeted back at a few people to say, hey, listen, for me, the real story begins right now, because the real story is who Fields is bringing with him to Georgia. And as Jeff Sintel has written many times, could be as many as 8 guys. And, I think we're about to start seeing a lot of that start to play out very much so right now. And, of course, for a lot of people who may not be completely, sort of locked in on the recruiting storyline here, there's almost an element of Fields to Georgia that may seem confusing. Why does Georgia even need another quarterback? It's already got what is thought to be 2 really good quarterbacks, with Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason. And exactly how does Fields fit into the picture with those other 2 guys there? Well, according to Justin Fields, when he spoke about this on Friday, he feels like his relationship with Eason and Fromm is just fine. Here's Fields again.
I think I have a pretty good relationship with the two. I mean, they're both great quarterbacks. Coach Smart, I mean, he hasn't promised me any playing time. The only thing he's promised me is he's going to play the best player, and that's really the only promise. I want. So, I mean, my plan is just to go in there, work hard, study the playbook, and just really create those relationships with the players and just do my best.
I think Justin Fields gives you virtually a perfect answer right there. Let's let this quarterback situation play itself out. Right now, it looks like Georgia's got too many good quarterbacks, but can you ever really have too many good quarterbacks? I think we'll see this start to take shape during spring and summer next year, and some of that between Fromm and Eason is going to go on this season. Let's let this be settled on the practice field and on the game field when it's all said and done. I think it's going to work out exactly the way it's supposed to. I think Justin Fields' perspective on that is perfect. Hey, before we move on here on Dog Nation Daily, welcome in Mitch Light. Let me remind you of a very special offer going on right now at Papa John's. You can buy any Papa John's pizza at regular menu price and get a second of equal or lesser value for free. That starts today. That's what we're talking about here on Dog Nation Daily, and it runs through October 15th. So make sure you check that out at your local Papa John's. Check them out online at papajohns.com. And, of course, it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, and hope you enjoy Mitch Light in place of Chip Towers right now. And we will say hello to a good friend of Dog Nation Daily and a great voice covering college football there at Athlon Sports. It's Mitch Light, the managing editor of Athlon Sports, back here once again on Dog Nation Daily. And, Mitch, let me first of all say thanks for your time here today. We appreciate you being with us and hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And you had a chance to see George up close and personal on Saturday. So if you don't mind, let me start with a very open and ended question. What are your thoughts on Georgia up to this point in the season?
I thought they looked terrible on Saturday. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, very impressive team. I've been the sideline reporter for Vanderbilt Radio for 5.5 years, basically, and I was telling people, anyone who would listen to me, you know, after the game Saturday, that Alabama, this Alabama team and this Georgia team are easily the two best teams I've seen in person from the sideline since I've been doing this. Now, you know, Vanderbilt has not played Alabama previously, has not played LSU in the past 5 years, and neither Florida nor Georgia have been, you know, up until this year, had some vintage teams. So, but the point being, those Georgia was just very, very physically impressive. You know, Alabama, I still say, you know, Alabama is the best team in the country, but I think Georgia is very worthy of a top five rank. If you want to throw them number three in the country, you have absolutely no argument with that.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying there is a pretty significant compliment. I think that's pretty interesting. And you used the word physical there. And if you don't mind me just following up on what we were just talking about, it reminds me of something that Joey Galloway, the ESPN analyst, said on TV late on Saturday night, that in his mind he thought that Georgia was the second most physical team in the country right now. Now, you don't get to see every team in person. You watch all these games on television. You see as much football each weekend as you can. Does what Galloway says there kind of – does that jive with what you saw yourself, and you've seen both these teams this year, that Georgia has a physicality right now that is at least in that conversation with what Alabama brings to the table?
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to judge, you know, to rank. I'll just say they're very physical, and they're as physical as they need to be. You know, there's certain, like, you know, kind of a line of demarcation there. Either you're kind of a physical team or you're not. There clearly are, and they combine it with talent, style of play. In fact, I didn't read all of Kirby Smart's post-game comments, but I think one of his opening remarks was to the effect of, you know, trying to establish the ground game early as you want to make that other team quit. And there's nothing more demoralizing, in my opinion, for a football team than not being able to stop the run. You know, sure, if you're out there and you give up a 75-yard touchdown pass in the first play of the game, that's demoralizing. If the other team throws four straight, you know, 20-yard passes, that's demoralizing. But it's the 3 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, 5 yards, just the running right over someone, to me, is really difficult for defenses to bounce back from.
So along those lines, you know, obviously the Georgia defense is what's getting a lot of praise at the moment. But, I mean, based on what you saw with your own eyes on Saturday, how close do you think this offense is to kind of, I don't want to say matching what the Georgia defense is doing, but being the kind of unit that could maybe give – Alabama a better game in an SEC championship game than Florida was able to the last couple of years? Fromm may be improving, although he's still a freshman. The offensive line, which opened it up for the running game on Saturday, may be getting better. Kirby Smart certainly seems to think they are. Is this a team that's still, at least based on, you know, what you've seen on TV, what you saw in person, greatly outpaced by its defense, or do you think the offense is starting to catch up here a little bit?
I think the offense is catching up. And this might not be a fair criticism of what I often say, and I probably said to this to you, Brandon, in previous interviews when we're talking about really elite teams is sometimes you don't talk about what they do well. You try and poke holes in what they might not be able to do, and that's how you kind of separate elite teams. And my question about Georgia would be if and when they play a defense that's capable of, you know, slowing down the run, can they make the plays in the passing game they need to make? Now, I'm not saying they can't. We just haven't really seen it yet on a consistent basis. And you know, they might go through the entire season and maybe up until the SEC championship game face a defense that forces them to do that. You know, you could say Auburn maybe. You know, Jake Fromm's been great so far, but he has not had to play in many stressful downs. You know, at Notre Dame, they obviously didn't require him to do much. He did make some plays in the passing game in that last drive, although I think one of them was kind of a short pass, and the receiver made someone miss on a key third down there. Mississippi State, they got off to such a big start, good start. There wasn't many stressful snaps in that game. And then the last 2 weeks against Tennessee and Vanderbilt, good start. So I guess that's my only question. My only point is, can the freshman get it done under stress? And again, I want to stress, I'm not saying he can't. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think that's a fair thing to bring up when you start looking at Georgia through the rest of the season. Let me bring another SEC team in this discussion here for a moment, because Dogs right now would appear to have a showdown with this team looming here, and that's Auburn. You know, we kind of made the Georgia-Alabama comparison a moment ago, but the Auburn comparison here also is pretty relevant because they will play in November, and right now if Georgia's kind of a hot team riding a lot of blowouts, well, Auburn sort of looks the same way, and I know you've written a lot about them, and your staff there at Athlon Sports has written a lot about them leading up to this season here. How do you think Georgia and Auburn compare at the moment?
I think it's a good comparison. I mean, I think Georgia deserves to be ranked ahead of Auburn. I think we all kind of got, you know, our early impression of Auburn against Clemson wasn't great. We thought at the time Clemson was really good, probably didn't realize how good they would be this year. I think what Auburn did defensively to Clemson's really impressive, and they've been great ever since. The running game, Auburn's almost in that class with Georgia and Alabama now with the depth of running back. Coming into this year, we thought Cameron Petway could be a Heisman contender. He's been hurt, and other guys have stepped up. And, you know, I was a big Jarrett Stidham fan heading into the season. Struggled, obviously, against that great Clemson defense, but he appears to be getting more and more comfortable. So just as an SEC fan, I'm really looking forward to the kind of round robin we're going to see late in the year with these three teams, assuming Georgia wins the East. You know, they'll play Auburn and Alabama late in the year. So, you know, on a neutral field right now, I'd probably favor Georgia by, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 points, but I definitely think Auburn will be a worthy opponent.
Yeah, so here's my thought on that. I don't know that all Georgia fans are going to agree with what I'm about to say, but I think Georgia and Auburn against similar schedules, I think Georgia might outperform Auburn, or certainly at least perform as well as Auburn. But in an individual matchup, especially Jordan-Hare Stadium, which is at least the first time those two teams will play this year where that game will be, I do think that Auburn does provide some matchup challenges for Georgia because the Auburn offensive line is getting better. I think Stidham has got the Clemson game behind him. I think he's coming into his own. And if you give a quarterback time to throw against this Georgia secondary, that is the final hurdle for this group, I feel. So I think Georgia being ranked ahead of Auburn, that's probably the right decision. But in a head-to-head matchup, I think Auburn presents some unique challenges for Georgia to deal with.
Yeah, no problem. And I agree with things you just said there. And, you know, the rankings don't mean a ton right now. Auburn with its loss to Clemson, you know, only one loss, a loss to Clemson, that's not going to, you know, prevent it from making the playoff. Auburn's, you know, everything's in its own hands. You know, if you can beat Georgia and beat Alabama, it's going to be, if you beat both of those teams and then take care of business in the SEC championship game, Auburn, of course, will be in the playoff.
Yeah.
So that loss to Clemson, I wouldn't call it inconsequential, but it really doesn't matter. And, yeah, I think that's, like I said before, I'm really looking forward to those games because I think a lot of those Georgia, they all have their own maybe strengths, but they're all built very similarly.
What do you think about Florida on Saturday? Now, you were obviously probably coming back from Vanderbilt Stadium there. I'm sure you got to see a lot of the Florida-LSU game, though. This is a team that has been sneaking by for a while and really putting a lot of pressure on Georgia to keep winning in the SEC East, but some of those offensive problems kind of came to bear at the worst time against LSU. Is this a blip on the radar for a Florida team that you think is pretty good, or is that the kind of comeuppance that Florida's had coming to it for a while here because maybe it was sort of lucky to slip by in some of the games that it has won? What's your take on the Gators at the moment?
Yeah, I saw the entire second half of the game, and some I actually got home in time for the second quarter on Saturday, and I saw Florida in person 2 weeks ago down in Gainesville.
Yeah.
I think they're good, but they're not in the class of Georgia, Florida, Auburn. I mean, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama. I think they're a top 25-ish type team. Defensively, you know, Vanderbilt had a lot of success against Florida in the passing game, struggled running the ball. I think they've got some issues at linebacker. Felipe Franks is good. He's got a great arm. He looks great in person. Let me tell you, he's a very physically imposing young guy. But I think they're having trouble with him kind of, you know, reading the field as much as, you know, he's a redshirt freshman. But I don't think that part of his game is there yet. They do have some really good young skill players, Tony, you know, the running back, Davis. Weird, you know, I don't need to tell you that weird things seem to happen before Florida and Georgia get together. So I would not even come close to saying that's a sure win for Georgia. On paper, Georgia will be heavily favored and should win the game. But again, that's always been a weird game.
Let me finish up with a subject, kind of go back in the past, at least a week for Georgia, the 41-0 win against Tennessee. Vols go into an off week this past Saturday, but the questions around Butch Jones just don't really slow down. Do you think at this point in time there's anything that Jones could do to keep his job there in Tennessee? I mean, they are going to face some winnable opponents here, other than obviously the Alabama game coming up third Saturday in October, but the rest of the schedule is not the kind of thing that Tennessee shouldn't be able to at least potentially handle. Can Jones save his job, or is that essentially in your mind a done deal?
I'm probably in the minority here in the state of Tennessee, where I think 97.8% of the people just, you know, they're already picking up the next coach. I think he can save his job. I mean, it's not, if I was going to bet on it right now, I'd probably say won't be the coach next year. But kind of to your point, there's a lot of winnable games on that schedule. And if you know, he goes 8-4 and they play relatively well against Alabama. The word is that, you know, John Curry, the new athletic director, doesn't, you know, came into this not looking to make a move, put it that way.
Yeah.
But what Butch Jones needs to do is curtail all the off the field stuff. You know, there's a fight. I think I just saw this before I came on the radio with you. The guy got suspended for the fight. Has all his comments about, you know, the last two years have been two of the best in Tennessee, you know, last 20 years, stuff like that. That's what, you know, not a Tennessee fan, but if I were, that's the stuff that would bother me almost just as much as performance on the field. It's kind of my coach being tone deaf about the history of the program and stuff like that. So, big game this week against South Carolina. It's at home. They need to play well, and they need to win, but they need to look good too. They just have not looked good on the field in a while.
A lot of people know, Mitch, I'm a huge fan of these preseason magazines, whether it be the basketball preview that I believe is on newsstands right now for Athlon, the football preview that I love spending time with around the pool during the summer. I know y'all always have a lot of great stuff going on in Athlon Sports. What else would you like to tell people to check out, or how they can find more of the work that you're doing?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. We are College Basketball magazines are on sale right now, and Braden Gall, a colleague of mine, we do a college football podcast called the Cover 2 Podcast, which you can find on, you know, iTunes and all that stuff. You want more of a national, not just SEC talk, some more national college football talk.
Well, Mitch, it's always great to have you here on Dog Nation Daily. Obviously, Georgia fans always have a nice time there in Nashville as well. We appreciate Vanderbilt's hospitality to the Georgia folks, and we'll look forward to talking to you again here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon.
Thanks for having me on, Brandon. Take care.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always love having Mitch Light here on Dog Nation Daily. He's a terrific voice covering college football, both on the sidelines for Vanderbilt and as the managing editor of Athlon Sports. So Mitch Light, a really good friend of Dog Nation Daily, and it's great to have him on the program. And, you know, one of the things that Mitch was talking about there was that game against Florida for Georgia coming up and how Florida compares to Georgia right now. We'll do more on the Florida-LSU game here in a moment, though. Before that, though, let me do remind you, and I've been kind of teasing this out a little bit, and I want to tell you a little more about it right now. Coming up before the big one in Jacksonville here in a couple of weeks, we're going to have another Dog Nation invasion. Now, it's a very different kind of Dog Nation invasion than the one we took to South Bend, because that was mostly about the bus trip and the tailgate, and you had to have a ticket to be a part of it. That was a lot more, I guess the word is restrictive. We wanted to do something for the game that matters to me more than any other that's a lot more inclusive. We didn't want to be able to, you know, have to tell people, no, you can't be a part of this. So we wanted to throw open the doors to as many people as we could. You know, back in South Bend, with this gigantic tailgate, the people who were there will tell you, the food, the beverage, it was all flowing and it was great. But if you didn't have one of those tickets, you couldn't get in because we had to contract that through a third party. Well, for the Dog Nation invasion to Jacksonville, we're going to open this up a whole lot more. It's a public tailgate. Everybody can come. While supplies last, we've got a very special gift that we're going to give away. We'll tell you more about that. And thankfully, to make something big like this happen, we have to have a lot of sponsors that can kind of help us get this floated and get this thing running. And one of those is R.S. Andrews. Now, I love R.S. Andrews. Y'all know this. And I was thinking about R.S. Andrews yesterday because it's cold and rainy. My family's all like bundled up in blankets on the couch like it's the North Pole. And I'm thinking, boy, if they're cold now, how much colder are they going to be in the wintertime? Let me make sure that my furnace is working the way that it's supposed to. And that's why, if you're thinking the same thing, that guaranteed furnace tune-up from R.S. Andrews, the way you want to go, because it's just $99. They're the home of the guaranteed $99 tune-up. They'll check your furnace, their clean screen, drain, timely text, make sure it's running the way it's supposed to for the entire cold weather season. Make sure you check them out online at rsandrews.com for the R.S. Andrews $99 tune-up. So, I obviously had a good time on Saturday with the Florida loss against LSU. And listen, even though I look forward to seeing Georgia beat Florida for its own opportunity to own the East, its own chance to do that, I look forward to seeing Georgia itself ruin the Gator season. That doesn't mean I don't still like when other people do the same thing. And I think Florida right now is a program with a lot of problems. This offense is not getting any better. And I told y'all back in the offseason, a lot of people I think thought I was sort of a sports talky blowhard for saying this, but I believe it's coming true. I told you that by the end of the season, I thought that Jim McElwain would be a coach in the hot seat because the defense for Florida is what helped this team win the East the last couple of years. But Jeff Collins, that coordinator that led, that's gone. And the talent, mostly recruited by Will Muschamp, that was utilized for that success, that's also gone as well. The only thing left is Jim McElwain, Doug Nussmeier, and their offense. They have not been able to recruit or develop a quarterback, and the offense is not getting any better. McElwain does not look like a smart coach right now. He looks like a coach that was lucky to have some players left over from Will Muschamp, and he used that to the tune of two SEC East crowns. But right now, the onus is on McElwain to prove that his expertise, the side of the ball that he's supposed to know, the offense, that can be what it's supposed to be. And against LSU on Saturday, it was not, and justifiably, he's getting a lot of criticism for that. Complete opposite story, though, for another one of Georgia's rivals. And I said this to Mitch Light a moment ago, and I hope I don't get too much grief for saying this, but I do think that Auburn right now is not only a good team. I think Auburn in Jordan-Hare Stadium in November is the kind of team that could potentially cause Georgia some trouble. Because, let's face it, Jared Stidham's a much better quarterback than Kyle Shurmur. He's a much better quarterback than really either the last two quarterbacks that Georgia's faced so far in the SEC this season. When you look at Georgia over the course of the next couple of games, now, the Florida game is a mountain unto itself. That's a game where you're not playing to get better. You're playing to beat the Gators. But nonetheless, when you look at Georgia with two opportunities or a few opportunities, including the South Carolina game after that, to get better in time to play Auburn in November, that's one of the things that you're looking to see. You know, can this Georgia team continue to get after quarterbacks? Can this Georgia team continue to have a high level of play from DeAndre Baker and Dominic Sanders and Tyreek McGee, the rest of this Georgia secondary? Because Georgia's secondary against Auburn is going to be tested. Auburn rolling after another blowout win against against Ole Miss. That's a pretty good-looking football team right now. I think Georgia's right to be ranked above them, but I think that's a collision course between those two teams for November. Brief recruiting nugget. Let me get to that here. Rashad Chaney, Jaden Hazelwood, a couple 2019 UGA commits do visit South Carolina for the Arkansas game. I don't think there's anything to this. I don't think that Chaney or Hazelwood, at least certainly in terms of Hazelwood. I know Chaney at one point in time had flirted with South Carolina a little bit, but I don't think you got anything to worry about with Hazelwood here. But it is worth noting that two of Georgia's high-profile commits for 2019 were in Columbia on Saturday. And, you know, one more quick thought here about the Texas A&M-Alabama game. As we said to start the show, this is once again proof that, you know, maintaining that edge and that competitive fire for 12 Saturdays is not an easy thing to do. Alabama's way better than Texas A&M, but Alabama had been on a roll recently, and there's a moment where you come back to earth. Even the best teams in college football have that moment. Georgia really hasn't had its in a while, but before long, it'll be playing a closer game than it expects, and I think it'll be an interesting opportunity for Georgia to respond in that moment. And my guess is, with the way that Kirby's got this team focused, they'll respond well once they get there. We'll make that your SEC through. I'll also tell you that, you know, this time of year we're talking about all these SEC games. You know, you like to cheer for Georgia to win. Maybe you like to bet on some of these other SEC teams because you think you know who's going to win. Well, when you do bet, when you win, you want to make sure you get paid out. A lot of these online sports books are just not known for fast, no-hassle payouts. But my friends at MyBookie are, and that's one of the reasons why so many people trust MyBookie for all their sports betting needs. But of course, right now, MyBookie's got an even better offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers than that. Right now, when you sign up at MyBookie, your first deposit can be matched up to 100%, but you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. That's DOGNATION, D-A-W-G. That's the way we spell that, at mybookie.ag. That's the website. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code DOGNATION. You get your first deposit matched up to 100%. You play, you win, you get paid. It is as simple as that at MyBookie. Online, mybookie.ag, the promo code is DOGNATION. All right, so I want to talk more for a moment now about one of the stories that has kind of bubbled up out of the Georgia-Vanderbilt game after the game. And that's what's going on with Georgia, the quarterback situation. Jake Fromm, for now, would appear to be clearly Georgia's starter. A firm grasp on that job moving forward through the rest of the season. Jacob Eason, as you know, does come into the game against Vanderbilt and has kind of a less than fortunate moment. He gets blindsided by a sack. Ball comes loose. It turns into a turnover that yields some points for Vanderbilt. And after the game, Kirby Smart was asked about what happened with Eason there in the game and kind of what's going on with Georgia's quarterback position. And Kirby Smart got a little salty about the Fromm-Eason comparison and what he views as coming from the media. Here's how Kirby Smart answered it.
You guys want to make a great story out of that. You know what a story ought to be? Georgia's O-line finishes Vanderbilt off. They ran the ball well. Can we talk about that and say, man, this is really positive? But I know that y'all need a story, right? You need a story. You need controversy. And that's not really where this team's going, because the men in that locker room, the seniors on that team, they're controlling that message. And both those quarterbacks are good players. And I take blame for what happened to Jacob Eason. I wanted the kid to come in and be able to throw the ball, and I called that play and put him in a bad situation. So that's on me. It's not on Jacob Eason.
So, listen, I have to be very honest with you about this. Kirby Smart blames the media for the quarterback of controversy between Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason. Now, first of all, I don't think there is a controversy. I think right now Georgia's got a clear starter. Fromm is apparently outperforming Eason during practice, and he's pretty clearly outperforming Eason during games, even if Eason's window to be in the game is just a brief window. Right now, Jake Fromm is the starting quarterback for Georgia, and he should be. But the point that I'm going to take umbrage with what Kirby Smart says there is that Kirby Smart blames the media for whatever discussions going on in Dog Nation about Fromm and Eason. I don't think that's true. There are a lot of fans who are like, yeah, Kirby, give them hell. That media always trying to stir up controversy and stir up trouble. Folks, have you been online this weekend? Where is the Fromm-Eason talk coming from right now? It's not coming from media people. It's coming from fans. And I say this as both a person who is a media person and a fan. Y'all know where my rooting interests lie, but you also know that I work for a pretty big media company doing this show each and every day. And in terms of the Fromm-Eason talk and the negativity about these quarterbacks, this is not coming from the media. Go to DogNation.com. Scroll down all the pages from Saturday. You do not see a lot of, negative storyline type stuff about the quarterbacks. You don't see a lot of complaints about Jacob Eason, a lot of tough questions about what's going on here. For the most part, the media has moved on from this. But check out some message boards. Go to forum.dognation.com. And there are also, believe it or not, some other message boards out there that also talk about Georgia football, I'm told. Some of those as well. I checked some of those out over the course of the weekend. There is some there's some negativity on the part of fans out there when it comes to these quarterbacks, and I honestly don't know where that's coming from. I think the fans here are doing themselves a disservice if they're not enjoying the ride that they're on. I agree with what Colt Gotti said in our comment section here on Facebook Live a moment ago. Georgia's number four team in the country. There shouldn't be any complaints right now coming from fans. I think in the case of the quarterbacks, it's the same thing. Georgia fans ought to enjoy the ride that this team is on at the moment, appreciate the fact that Georgia has a good quarterback, probably has a very capable backup, and somehow, some way, the tandem of Fromm and Eason could be leading Georgia to some pretty great things here this season. All right, so as we wrap up here today, a couple things to tell you. Still a few Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirts left at shopdognation.com. So go to shopdognation.com and check them out. Now, unfortunately, it's only the really small sizes and the very big sizes. Everything else in between is all gone. But if you want yours before the game against Florida coming up at the end of the month, check out shopdognation.com. You can still get them there. It is free shipping. We love these shirts, and you still got a little bit of time to get them if you match one of the sizes that we still have. Something else I wanted to say to kind of wrap up the show here today is, and a commenter to our Dixie Vodka postgame show brought this up on Saturday. Should we be doing a Roquan for Heisman type conversation right now? Now, I don't want to get out of control with the hype on this, but Bruce Feldman wrote over the weekend about Minka Fitzpatrick for Alabama, him being in that discussion. If you're going to say that about Minka, couldn't you say the same thing about Roquan? Now, I'm not telling you he can win it, but maybe he should get some consideration. We'll talk more about it later in the week. Thanks for listening to Dog Nation Daily.